This week, big news on Masonic conferences, and a brand new piece for the Lyceum, which will be premiered right here in this episode. A concise and interesting history of the Grand Lodge of Illinois' Masonic Education Committee. One might think that Masonic education could be found in the proceedings books of any Grand Lodge, as far back as we can go. However, this just isn't the case. Masonic education looked very different from what it is today, just 100 years ago. Find out how we went from nothing to something in just over 100 years. All this and more. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
Welcome back to the show. This is episode number 592. I want to thank our producers, fellows, contributors, and legacy partners for allowing me to bring this podcast to you week after week, month after month, year after year. Since July of 2011, the Whence Came You podcast has been creating weekly Masonic education for anyone interested in Freemasonry and its kindred sciences. No small endeavor requiring hours of work each week on top of what we all have, work, kids, spouses, you name it. We've got a few different ways you can help support the show. You can head on over to WCYpodcast.com, click on Support the Show, and check out your various options. In recent years, Masonic education has taken a more prominent role, and dare I even say a leading role, in Freemasonry. Is this coincidence? Well, let's keep this ship on course. Thank you for your decision to assist us out in any way you see fit. In the news, the Midwest Conference of Masonic Education was last weekend, hence the reason for no episode. I have to apologize to you all. I had every intent of having an episode ready for you to go, and I just ran out of time, and it wasn't going to be a great episode if we were just going to throw something together on Monday for you. So we wanted to make sure we had a stellar episode for you as usual with all the things that you're used to. So just some updates from the Midwest Conference on Masonic Education. This is a huge deal. We had over 100 attendees from 10 different jurisdictions, and it was just a wonderful time. We started off on Friday night with a scavenger hunt around the Canton, Ohio Masonic Temple, which is home to various attendant bodies. You know, it's one of these giant Masonic temples, purpose-built with Scottish Rite, York Rite rooms, Blue Lodge rooms, and all things that you can think of. It was just awe-inspiring, I have to say. On the way down there, we drove with the illustrious brother, Chad Lasik. It was just a fantastic time to get to spend some time with him in the car. We had 12 hours together logged. And he had this great idea planned on the way down there to stop at a place called Tony Paco's Famous Hot Dogs in Toledo, Ohio. And it was everything he promised. It would be a great little stop if you're ever down there. So that first night, we had a little scavenger hunt, and we explored the temple again. The next day, we had a great keynote speaker just before lunch, Dr. Heather Calloway, who has done a world of good and amazing things with preserving fraternal artifacts and history. I cannot recommend her talk to have her come out and do something for you guys enough. She was awesome. We had a really awesome interactive session with Josh Beasley on the top floor of the Masonic Temple, all about the different Masonic books that we would recommend. And it was a multi-track event, meaning you could go to one thing or something else, and there were enough people that nobody felt slighted by a certain number of people within their presentation or anything like that. So a lot of great good came out of this, a lot of fun. And I think my hat goes off to the president, the vice president's secretary treasurer of the Midwest Conference of Masonic Education. It was just a fantastic time. Just some updates on the organization. I have to congratulate Brother Chad Kopensky on a wonderful job that he did with this year's conference. He is now the immediate past president. So who's the new president? Well, we've got Brother Andrew, who is now taking over, and next year we will have the Midwest Conference of Masonic Education in Minnesota. Oh, and we elected a new fifth vice president, who is illustrious Brother Chad Lasik. So this means that Illinois will once again host the Midwest Conference in 2028. Okay, next up really fast, I just wanted to mention that MasonicCon Kansas is going to be wrapping up their speaker announcements very soon, and I'm very excited for MasonicCon Kansas's second year going into this. As always, it is going to be an awesome event. Brother Alex Powers has been burning the candle at both ends to ensure the event is a success and that all of the people who bought a ticket got 110% of their dollars worth. Please go check out MasonicCon Kansas's website, MasonicConKansas.com, for more information. Right off the bat, I can tell you the speakers have been announced. We've got Jason Richards. I already know what his topic is, and while they haven't announced it yet, I don't believe they have, I already know what it is, and it's one that you're not going to want to miss. We've got Brother Ryan Flynn, a world-renowned Masonic artist, going to be speaking. Brother Matthew Parker from Nebraska. Michael J. Stoops, he's a past grandmaster, and he'll be coming in from Ireland via Zoom, I presume. And I'm very excited about this upcoming speaker as well, Brother Brad Drew from Kentucky, or Northern Kentucky, as he likes to put it. They have a panel discussion, and of course, their Master of Ceremonies are still to be released. They're coming soon. But again, visit MasonicConKansas.com to grab your tickets. You can get a rad general admission and get swag for $78. It's a really good deal. They've got a slew of different options like general admission with no swag, virtual, virtual with, and of course, you buy your festive board ticket separately because it is a meal. And meals cost a little bit of cash. So there are various options, something for everybody, regardless of your budget situation. I'm very proud to have the WCY podcast sponsor MasonicCon Kansas. I really believe in this event. So I hope you all head on over to the website and at least for a virtual pass, $21 for a virtual pass with no swag, you get sign on and watch while you're out shopping or listen in your ear. It's a great opportunity for Masonic education. Now, MasonicCon Chicago. That's right. It happens on September 16th of this year. We've sold a slew of tickets already. Lots of VIPs have already purchased their tickets. We have both available on MasonicConChicago.com. We've got two tickets. We got a VIP $120 ticket and a general admission $80 ticket. Tickets to the MasonicCon Chicago are available right now. No plans for live streaming this event. We will record the lectures, which will be available to our VIPs via a sign-in web platform for a year before they go live on the MasonicCon Chicago YouTube channel. We've got people coming from as far as Washington and Florida and even Canada, so coast to coast, over in Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, all of these great places that we're coming from. We've got recommended hotels to be staying at, and of course, we are open for sponsorships as well. You can head on over to the website, MasonicCon Chicago. You can download a flyer for your lodge, print it out, put it up on the board, and maybe you can even figure out who the speakers are. We've done some digital artwork there to pixelate everybody's image. Here's a little teaser. We will start announcing speakers in just about 2 weeks, and then you can definitely lock in and know that you're going to want to come to this. And again, we've got a little countdown here. The conference happens in 131 days, 19 hours, and 25 minutes from the time of recording this podcast. So I hope you check that out also. Now, speaking of Masonic education, let's get into the piece this week. Now, this is an original piece that I put together actually for the Lyceum, which will be coming out. It's for their April-May issue. And you're going to get a little taste of it here first on the podcast. This has been published nowhere else before. And so it is called The Struggle of Ages, The History of the Masonic Education Committee of the Grand Lodge of Illinois by R.H. Johnson, past District Deputy Grand Master for the Committee on Masonic Education. Within each grand jurisdiction in the United States, there is a committee dedicated to Masonic education. However, this was not always the case. Masonic education and what it meant has a little bit of history behind it. In this article, I hope to shed some light on this history and inspire you with what we set out in the following pages. Our source for this information comes directly from the Grand Lodge Proceedings Books for Illinois, which account for the happenings of all kinds related to not just our Grand Lodge of Illinois, but to many other Grand Lodges that we are in amity with. While we outline this history, it's important to know and to understand that Masonic education as a philosophical endeavor has not always been practiced, and may still not be in some places. But it certainly was being practiced within lodges all over the world, and especially in Illinois, albeit sporadically. Articles in public newspapers abound relating to the educational programming of lodges all around the state. Discussions related to the philosophical meaning of the working tools or the dogma within our system of ritual. It was out there, but it wasn't officially recognized by our Grand Lodge, or others for that matter. Not until grassroots movements forced our administrators to look at this activity and acknowledge its worth to both membership retention and in fulfilling our mission statement of making good men better, did our administrators pay attention. The Grand Lodge of Illinois has a wonderful and rich history. In fact, it has two histories. The Grand Lodge of Illinois was chartered in 1822, and it went, quote-unquote, to sleep in 1827, and was reconstituted in 1840. That's right, we are on Grand Lodge of Illinois 2.0. When we open the pages of our Grand Lodge annual publication, the minutes of the Grand Lodge sessions in its first years, you might be surprised to find that there was no committee on Masonic education. There is no mention of the word education in any form until 1844, where it says, quote, that we recommend attention of every brother of the fraternity and of the friends of education generally to the facility which the institution affords for the acquisition of a thorough education, end quote. In the editions to come, when Masonic education was mentioned, in relation to what our Grand Lodge was doing, it was connected to the Masonic Education and Charity Committee. This committee was essential in bringing relief to widows and orphans, and also providing wonderful educational opportunities for orphans who might not be able to afford the costs of schooling. So committed to the cause of education that we find the following entry, quote, resolved that the principal of the educational fund, as may be determined at this communication, shall be an irreducible fund. The interest or income, or as much as may be needed, be annually appropriated for the education of such Masonic wards as the Grand Lodge may determine. End quote. Think about that. We were so committed that we put language in to make the funding of these endeavors irreducible, a commendable act, no doubt. Through the years, there were many times in which grand jurisdictions debated both the functionality and appropriateness of Freemasons giving money to the profane or to widows and orphans to further their education. Beginning in the Grand Lodge proceedings of 1840, again, there is no mention of Masonic education in the way we might understand it. That is, a sort of lecturing or discussion about what the ritual means and an expanding on the ritual philosophy until the proceedings in the year 1910. Would it surprise you to learn that when the above was mentioned, it wasn't actually Illinois who had mentioned it, but rather another grand jurisdiction in its general report, which had been reprinted within the Illinois proceedings? In the years to come, the word education is almost completely vacant from the proceedings. And then, out of the blue, the First District of Illinois has an entry. Under the heading Report of the Right Worshipful District Deputy Grand Masters, and dated September 15, 1913, District Deputy Grand Master William Wilmartz has, in general, wonderful things to say about the First District. Toward the end of his lengthy report, we find the following, quote, it is also gratifying to note that many of the lodges have entered upon a campaign of education and are providing interesting programs such as addresses and lectures by distinguished Masons on timely Masonic subjects, and are also seeking to familiarize the membership with the Masonic law which governs us, and with the decisions and edicts of the present and former Grand Masters. One of the most interesting and enjoyable meetings that it was my good fortune to attend during my incumbency of this office was a meeting in my district, which was given up to a consideration and a discussion of the Masonic law. I believe everyone who is present that evening thoroughly enjoyed this innovation and would share my recommendation that it be repeated by all of the lodges at frequent intervals. End quote. There are also portions within this edition of the proceedings by the Grand Master under his report that speak to this weird new thing. There were two interesting entries. The first was curiously under the title Beecher's Knife. Quote, quoting that portion regarding the need of study for better understanding of the teachings of Masonry, the reviewer adds, we need education in Masonry. It is very well to know the ritual and its manifold beauties, but what lies in the back of the ritual and its symbolism should be known and understood. Significance, tradition, and history. Not until this knowledge is back of the ritual can Masonry's lessons be forcibly and intelligently given. It was the great Beecher who said that when it came to education, many men were like knives with many blades. They know how to open one and only one, and the rest are in the handle. Masons should be like a many-bladed knife, but all the blades should be in use, and they should be kept sharp by learning daily how to apply them to all practical purposes for our fellow man and to the glory of God. We as Masons should read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest our Masonry, and then show both knowledge and faith by acting, carrying it into our everyday lives, living examples of Masons for others to see and profit by." End quote. In this same proceedings book, we find from the report of the Grand Master under the title Broader Masonic Essential. Quote, "Among suggestions, the Grand Master enters upon a wide field in the broader education of Masons. Grand Master Dara is also putting emphasis on this line of work. The Nova Scotia Grand Master says, quote, "We should become students and search for wisdom, for nothing strengthens the craft like education. With the various means and opportunities of gaining knowledge, Masonically speaking, there is no excuse for ignorance. How many of the brethren have the desire to improve the time, when no degree work is on, to peruse the pages of the annual proceedings of our own Grand Lodge, which contains the reports of Grand Lodges with which we are in friendly intercourse? The lengthy reports are from the pen of the most scholarly men of the world, and are reviewed by our esteemed Grand Secretary. The choicest portions appear in these revisions, which may well be read in our lodges. Thus, knowledge would be gained and new interest awakened, giving a broader conception of the wonderful institution of Masonry. In this way, our members come in touch with the great men who devote so much of their time and talent to Masonic research. Ritualism begins the Mason, but reading, education, and reflection must finish him. So, after all, it depends upon the man." End quote. Moving forward in time to the year 1921, we find a report in the Proceedings of Illinois reprinted from the Grand Master of Oklahoma. Quote, "The most crying need of Freemasonry at the present time, with our rapidly increasing membership, is education in the fundamental principles of Masonry. No matter how far we may eventually go in the cultivation of the educational field, the immediate task is to bring home to all Masons those great fundamental principles which none deny, and to which none should be indifferent. Knowledge is the most real and genuine of all human treasures, for it is light, as ignorance is darkness." End quote. Another entry is a report from the Illinois delegation speaking about what Iowa had been doing with its education committee. Quote, "Brother Frank S. Moses, past Grand Master, presented Brother Ralph H. Wheeler, most worshipful Grand Master of the Grand Lodge of Illinois, who brought greetings from the brethren of the Illinois jurisdiction and, in a few interesting remarks, paid a high tribute to the work of Masonic education now being developed in Iowa. Brother Wheeler also made a few but pertinent remarks concerning greater economy in our lodge affairs, and spoke with interest concerning the Great World War." End quote. In 1924, an explosion of Masonic education references appear. Not too much in Illinois, but in almost every state of the Union where the jurisdiction reports appear, each state mentions the importance of ensuring that members understand the philosophy of Freemasonry, its ritual, and symbols. From the report of the Grand Master in 1924, quote, "Educational programs. The proceedings of a number of Grand Lodges disclose the fact that educational programs have been in vogue and met with general success. In most instances, the whole matter has been placed in the hands of a special committee that has outlined a system of instruction and has placed the same within reach of every Masonic lodge in the jurisdiction. Several of these programs will be found in the review which follow, and they are of sufficient interest to merit close examination. The purpose of these educational programs seems to present to the craft facts concerning the fraternity and the work it is doing. In several grand jurisdictions, moving pictures have been used as a part of the program. These pictures dealing with Masonic homes of the state and disclosing to the craft the splendid results that are being accomplished in the care of those members of the society who are unable to care for themselves. There is no doubt in the world but that education is the one thing that Freemasonry needs today more than anything else. The admission of large numbers of members make it imperative that proper information be conveyed concerning the fraternity of which they are a part. The Masonic Service Association has done good work in outlining these programs. A number of jurisdictions have used them to splendid advantage. One Grand Lodge organized district meetings at which these educational programs were given, and they were so well received that the lodges applied for them, and they were rendered in many lodges to the great benefit of the brethren. The outcome of this educational movement will be watched with great interest. It is to be hoped that succeeding Grand Masters will realize the value and necessity of educational training and exert their best endeavors toward continuing the work which has already been started. End quote. Over the continuing years, the subject of Masonic education comes up in ways that are quite contentious. It appears the idea of having a discourse on the values and philosophy are juxtaposed with ideas of ritual instruction, which is sometimes erroneously called, even to this day, the esoteric work, and or the roles of administrating the craft. Which is it? The general consensus among the larger heads of the craft, at least in 1927, was sort of typical, that we shouldn't do anything until all the grand jurisdictions come together to decide on what it means to have Masonic education. We all know that this was a poor excuse, and so did the constituents of most of the Grand Lodges. While the Grand Lodges continued to take almost no action in regard to this phenomenon of Masonic education, grassroots movements simply took hold. They did what they wanted. They organized. In 1930, the Grand Secretary of Idaho had his remarks printed in the Grand Lodge of Illinois Proceedings, and here is what he said about the subject of Masonic education. Quote, "Certainly, the increase in Masonic books was a pretty good indicator of things to come," end quote. He was making a correct assumption. The more Masonic books that were being printed, the greater the demand for them there must be. And if this is the case, then Masonic education must be on the rise. What's more, is that people are paying for these books to supplement what they were not getting within the Masonic Lodge. His note, in full, is as follows, quote, "The Committee on Masonic Education submitted a very interesting report, and offers valuable suggestions for bringing Freemasonry to a better understanding among the membership. The committee says that during the past year, more Masonic books have appeared than in the last 15 years, showing that there is a disposition to acquire a better understanding of Freemasonry." Frank D. Mumford, Caldwell, Grand Master, Curtis F. Pike, Boise, Grand Secretary. Illinois was still not buying into this idea on a grand jurisdiction level, but in 1930, aside from Idaho, another gang of states talked about their committee work and fulfilling members' needs and wants in understanding Masonry's philosophy. A solid entry in the proceedings of 1931 under a short article called Changing the Process was written the following. Changing the Process. The Grand Lodge of New York held its annual meeting last May. The proceedings show that there were some very lively topics introduced at that session, and the fraternity was given something to think about. One brother told the Grand Lodge that the great problem of Masonry today was not to get men into Masonry, but to get Masonry into men. This writer is inclined to think that the brother down in New York has given educational committees all over the United States something to think about. And while these committees are devising programs of education, hunting up questionable historical documents, dilating upon various forms of symbolism, they might incidentally adopt a simple course of study which would get a member of a Masonic Lodge to understand what it means to be a Mason. In other words, try and get some Masonry into the individual. For a long time, lodges have seemed to think that just the moment a man signed the bylaws of the lodge, that its obligations to him ceased. The lodge is perfectly satisfied so long as he paid his $5 per year dues and didn't come up and ask for a loan of $10 or request a donation to buy some food for his family. End quote. Masonic education in Illinois becomes official in 1932. The report of the Grand Master addresses Masonic education and forms the first special committee on Masonic education. Here is the report. Masonry has many angles and various phases. We find the historian who has great joy in tracing its course through the centuries and marking the influence it has left upon the people of all times through its leaders. The man of science finds much to study in it, and the student of the Holy Bible becomes greatly interested in the references which it discloses, and above all, the citizen finds in it the rule and guide of his faith. We always find something new in Masonry, and in that fact lies its great attraction to all of us. Yet with all this, and even in the hearts and minds of our most enthusiastic and energetic Masons, misunderstandings arise, and misconceptions are found. Our ritual is beautiful, and we have a just right to be proud of it. Yet it contains much to be studied and explained. This can only be obtained by a real planned-out system of study if we would thoroughly appreciate its beauty and its genius. The need of Masonic education is becoming greater and more insistent every day, especially in these times when everything seems to be in confusion. The individual Mason owes it to the fraternity, and I believe that the Grand Lodge of Illinois owes it to the individual member to aid him in every way in his desire to acquire light and seek a better understanding of the truths and principles which are hidden away in our ritual. With these thoughts in mind, and the desire that our Grand Lodge shall fulfill its mission and discharge its responsibilities, I recommend that a special committee of three be appointed to work out an educational program that will be practical and feasible. End quote. It is interesting that this particular Grand Master also notes in his report the similarity in which he views the craft with the then current Grand Master of Missouri, Ray V. Denslow, a Masonic titan in his own right, and perhaps the most prolific Freemason to live in the 20th century. In 1933, we have the first three men named to the committee, Norman B. Hickok, Harry A. Finney, and L. Hubbard Shattuck, all of Chicago. In this same volume, the Grand Master relates to the reader that the special committee will have their report later in the proceedings, yet nothing appears. Nothing manifests for decades, in fact. Over the years, mentions of Masonic education within the grand jurisdiction of Illinois become less and less, giving way to a sort of turning back of the clocks. The Grand Lodge had suffered through many losses and an eventual influx after World War II, and with this, the emphasis on education drifted away from the Masonic Lodge, and the education that became prevalent was that of charity. A charity and a benevolent fund for vocational training for Masons had been established. Finally, years later, in 1956, under the heading of Masonic Education, is printed a report. In it, a brief synopsis of the history of the Education Committee is laid out. They mentioned that a special committee had been assigned, and that while this was the case, nothing had actually been done with the committee until 1948, when the committee's name changed to the Committee on Masonic Information. While the reports of the Committee of Masonic Information were rarely printed, they apparently did much work to establish a means and a plan to allow Masonic education to be officially sanctioned and a part of normal lodge operations in every lodge in the grand jurisdiction of Illinois. It is in this particular entry, which you can read below, that a motion is finally made to establish an official standing committee on Masonic education. Milton T. Sontag was the Grand Master who made this recommendation. Committee on Masonic Education, quote, "The proceedings of the Grand Lodge in the past years contain many references to the insistent need of Masonic education and information to aid the individual Mason, whether lodge officer or not, to acquire further light and a better understanding of the truths and principles which are expounded upon in our ritual. Although recommendations were made and committees appointed to explore the field, no specific action was taken until 1948. At that time, a Committee on Masonic Information was inaugurated, and with no precedents or charts or landmarks to direct them, they accepted this difficult assignment, and these brethren have since devoted many long and arduous hours to establish a program that would be sound and which would be beneficial to the craft. As the mariner sailed uncharted seas, as the pioneers blazed their paths through the uncharted territories, plotting, searching, retracing their steps, starting anew, always pressing on, so these brethren, exploring, venturing, daring, always persevering, have by trial and error overcome many difficulties, and now offer us a sound foundation upon which we may build. During this period, other jurisdictions were employed in a similar activity, and all have worked harmoniously in the interchange of ideas toward the advancement of this project. Because of their diligence, their cooperation, and their contributions, the members of our committee enjoy the universal esteem and approval of the Masonic educators throughout the Masonic world. Thus, they have brought honor to us. Recognizing the volume of their labors and the value of their contributions and being confident of the worth of this program, I recommend that this Grand Lodge enact the proper legislation to make a standing committee to be named the Committee on Masonic Education." End quote. The next couple of years brought no reports. However, in 1958, the first real Masonic education report for the entire committee was given. The report was written by Brother Chester R. Steele, who at that time was the committee's chairman. The committee accomplished much, and for the first time we see the scope and full gamut of accomplishments that this committee had completed. Perhaps, since the first time this was printed in 1958, we reprint in full the first full Committee on Masonic Education report from 1958. Report Committee on Masonic Education. Quote, "The report of this committee was presented by Brother Chester R. Steele, chairman. The report was adopted, and the section referring to finance was referred to the Finance Committee. To the Most Worshipful Grand Lodge of Ancient Free and Accepted Masons of the State of Illinois, in one of the booklets issued by the Iowa Committee on Masonic Education written many years ago, we find the following. Quote, "The quality of our masonry cannot rise above the level of our thinking, and our thinking is not likely to rise above the level of what we know. Since any study of masonry must be purely voluntary, the least that can be done for those who display any interest whatsoever is to make available authentic material with counsel as to its selection and use." End quote. The report continues. "Under the direction of our Most Worshipful Grand Master, your Committee on Masonic Education has attempted to do more than the foregoing statement. For while it suggests that we should make available authentic material to those who display any interest in Freemasonry, over the years we have tried to create interest where none existed before. We will now give you a detailed report of our activities during this past year. Illinois Enlightener. As in past years, the Illinois Enlightener was published quarterly. The August issue was mailed to approximately 28,000 members. During the year, many letters were received expressing appreciation to Grand Lodge for making the publication available to the membership. One of the greatest compliments to the Grand Lodge was received from Brother Ernest W. Campbell, past Grand Master of the Grand Lodge of Florida and representative of the Grand Lodge of Illinois under the Grand Lodge of Florida, in a letter dated May 27, 1958, in which he requests an additional copy of the May 1958 issue, and continues, quote, "We are considering a publication for our Grand Lodge, and I think yours is an ideal one," end quote. "You have heard the Grand Master's report, and you have accepted the report on the committee by your own actions. Therefore, you have approved his recommendation that the Illinois Enlightener be sent to every member belonging to a lodge in our grand jurisdiction. This will be done beginning with the February 1959 issue. The November 1958 issue will be mailed to a limited number as before. The expense of sending the Enlightener to every member is considerable, and the members of the Committee on Masonic Education pledged themselves to continue to make the Enlightener one of the most outstanding Masonic publications available anywhere. This expanded service to the craft will ensure keeping in touch with every member at least four times a year. It is also in keeping with the trend throughout the country to have a periodical for the members and to increase the work of educational committees. This trend will pay dividends over the years because it creates more interest in the members. The Enlightener sent to each member will be reaching many Masons who have not communicated with their lodges in many years. Past experiences have shown that an informed Mason is a better Mason, that activity creates interest, and that this makes for a better craft." Booklets. The various booklets distributed since our last Grand Lodge meeting are as follows. Candidate Information Program, 2,409 sets. Investigation, Duties of Investigation Committee, 2,449 copies. Colonial Freemasonry, 770 copies. The Story of Freemasonry in the United States, 763 copies. Masonic Rods, Their Use, History, and Symbolism, 1,197 copies. Suggested Social and Educational Programs, 1,509 copies. We would like to quote a portion of a letter received from Brother Edgar H. Bingham, Secretary of Humboldt Park Lodge, No. 813, Chicago, Illinois, in which he requests that copies of the candidate information booklets and investigation booklets be sent to him, and continues, quote, "It is our opinion that the Grand Lodge and those responsible for the very thorough and informative manner in which these books were written are to be congratulated and thanked for their efforts in fulfilling a long-felt need. There was a time when a newly raised member was often left to his own resources as far as conduct and decorum were concerned. When he entered the lodge as a new member, And, except for what little he may have learned from the degree ritual, he was entirely in the dark in regard to many things which are thoroughly explained in these booklets. And when placed on an investigating committee, he was on his own, so to speak, except for a few words of help from some other member which may or may not have been adequate or helpful to this degree necessary to perform properly the task to which he was assigned. This persistent observation of a lodge secretary gives the reason why these books were prepared in the first place, and certainly should be a forceful argument for the use of this material in those few lodges which are not now using them. The booklet suggested social and educational programs is now being mailed direct to the junior warden of each lodge, and if properly studied will make him a valuable officer and also give him many helpful ideas in preparing an interesting and effective program when he becomes worshipful master. Service letters. During the past year, each lodge was supplied with a card on which to furnish the names and addresses of the principal officers of the lodges to our committee. We now have a mailing list of the worshipful masters, senior and junior wardens. Beginning in October, our service letters will be mailed to the home addresses of each of these officers. We've had numerous requests for back issues of the service letters, and even though some lodges are too busy to have them read at lodge meetings, we know that the officers are making use of them for the valuable information contained in these concise articles. The Masonic Speakers Bureau. Our Masonic Speakers Bureau now consists of 71 brethren throughout the state who are wholeheartedly interested in Freemasonry and are willing to give of their time and talents in this capacity. More interest has been shown by the lodges in this activity. We've had many calls for speakers for past Masters' Nights, Washington's birthday talks, and many other occasions. A few weeks ago, one master called us at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The district deputy of his district was scheduled to speak at his lodge on the following night and had suddenly become ill. He wanted to know if we could obtain a speaker for him. We did. Speaker engagements are listed in the Enlightener. We hope the service will continue to grow. Masonic speakers can be utilized for both open and closed meetings. At the request of the Grand Master, at least two members of the committee attended all the Grand Lodge schools and displayed the materials furnished by the committee. In addition, and again, at the suggestion of the Grand Master, we obtained a slide projector and colored slides of various scenes at the Illinois Masonic Home and in the Illinois Masonic Children's Home. The Board of Grand Examiners were very helpful at each school, and we expressed appreciation to them. We were again invited to attend the Cook County Master's Dinner and the Cook County Secretary's Dinner. And at all of these meetings, the interest of the brethren, mostly officers of the lodge, was very apparent. When we received letters such as the following from a brother who is a senior warden of his lodge, we know that Freemasonry will live on and on. Quote, "At the State School of Instruction held last week, I had the opportunity to obtain some wonderful literature pertaining to various lodge activities. The candidate information booklets have been put to use already, while the others have been of historical interest and of information to the lodge. I was particularly interested in the service letter number 40, and the list of titles of service letters seems to round out an education for officers. If it is at all possible, I would greatly appreciate having the complete list of service letters to my Masonic library and will gladly pay any cost involved." End quote. Continuing the report, they write, "Midwest Conference on Masonic Education. The members of our committee not only attended but took an active part in the 8th Midwest Conference on Masonic Education held at Cedar Rapids, Iowa, on November 8th and 9th, 1957. The conference is held each year to encourage the participating jurisdictions to exchange ideas and to report on various methods being used. Your committee has benefited greatly by becoming acquainted with members of the other committees and the interchange of ideas, resulting in better programs of Masonic education in our own Grand Lodge. The 9th Midwest Conference will be held in Minneapolis, Minnesota on November 14th, 15th, 1958. Three members of our committee are presenting papers. Miscellaneous. For the information of the officers of lodges who are not acquainted with our services, we list the following miscellaneous services and materials furnished by the committee. 1. Programs and other materials for guidance of lodges that will be celebrating their centennial anniversary. 2. Two suggested programs for the presentation of a 50-year card. 3. A suggested program for the presentation of the Holy Bible. 4. A card folder containing information related to what can I tell my non-Masonic friends. 5. A chart showing the various steps necessary in opening and closing a lodge in various degrees. 6. a list of stereopticon slides authorized by the Board of Grand Examiners for the use in the lectures in various degrees. And 7. A lecture chart, which, if followed closely, will assure that every officer will know all of the lectures and the funeral service by the time he becomes senior warden. Finances. In 1957-58, our expenditure amount amounted to $16,791.12. Because of the great increase in cost due to sending the Enlightener to every member, we are requesting a split budget for the year 1958-59 as follows. For general expenses, including office, booklets, service letters, etc., $11,227. For the Illinois Enlightener, November 1958 issue to be mailed as heretofore, three folding issues to be sent to every member, $27,850. Total, $39,077. A detailed list of our expenses and requested budget are attached. Committee on Masonic Education. This concludes the report. Back to the paper. In the years since 1958, chairmen of the Masonic Education Committee have come and gone. Many have made their indelible mark on our craft. The focus of Masonic education hasn't always been philosophical in nature, and in fact sometimes made a slight return to materialist views on things. However, this was short-lived. Think about all our committee accomplished in the past, a speaker's bureau, and even a magazine just like the Lyceum called The Enlightener was produced and mailed quarterly to over 28,000 brothers in the state of Illinois. What an incredible feat. Those budget numbers are no joke either. If your committee was to ask for the equivalent money today, it would equate to $412,400, almost half a million. Today, your committee operates at less than $15,000 a year. In 1958 money, that's just shy of $1,500. Now that you know the history of your committee on Masonic education, I hope you see the extreme value and just how hard brothers just like you fought to get this committee recognized and standardized. You'll notice that the committee even attended the Midwest Conference on Masonic Education in its eighth year, all the way back in 1958. The Midwest Conference on Masonic Education began in 1949, and you can visit their website at mcme1949.org. Since that time, Illinois has become an active member and hosting the conference on various occasions. And to this end, I also must share that the most recent Midwest Conference on Masonic Education for 2023, Right Worshipful Brother Chad Lasek, 33rd degree, was nominated and elected as the fifth vice president. This means that in 2028, Illinois will once again host the Midwest Conference on Masonic Education. Here's to the future of Masonic education. Here's to each brother who makes it a point to educate himself and assist others in finding light in the darkness. That concludes the paper. I hope you enjoyed it. Over the years, I've done quite a bit of research in relation to Masonic education committees, whether that means I've gone into your most recent annual proceeding book, if it's hosted somewhere like on the George Washington National Masonic Memorial website. I have captured the amounts that we have set aside for expenditures for Masonic education. And across the board, it is usually less than 10% of the membership budget or the PR budget. So it is something to think about, as Masonic education is a retention tool and is the initial attractor, so to say. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this in the Craftsman Plus group. That's it for this week. I want to thank our producers, fellows, contributors, and legacy partners for joining us one more time. If you're curious on how to support this program, head on over to wcypodcast.com, click on Support the Show, and see your options. Thank you all for listening, and until next week, stand the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson. Take care.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.
WCY Media.
That's it. Here's your up.